in yourself deeply enough, and you meet another person who is working on themselves deeply enough, is we meet just as you here, I'm here. And then if we have a dance to do, we dance. And if we don't have a dance to do, we don't dance. But the dance or the not dance doesn't matter to either of us. And yet we love each other deeply. Deeply. Brian, really playing with different ones of you in these different ways as if it really matters. But it's much more fun if you also realize it doesn't matter. Much more fun. The game is much higher. And I keep saying, hey, play it a different way. Come on out. It's like having a ball bouncing outside at sunset, and everybody's got their nose pressed against the window saying, we can't come out. Mother said it's too late. We can't come out. And I'm just waiting for somebody to come out and play. And most of you, we play for moments, and then people go back into stuff. And I go back into stuff, and that's our work, is to extricate ourselves from having to look at how we are with each other as egos rather than as souls. And I think it's a confusion, the term soulmates. I mean, I can understand it. I can see souls traveling together through series of incarnations because they have work to do. Most of the people that use the word soulmate do it from an ego level. And there's a whole way of describing spiritual planes from ego that is really basically ego stuff. And a lot of the New Age movement is that. It is basically an ego ripoff of spiritual concepts by people who still want power because they are rooted in fear. The soul isn't rooted in fear. The soul is doing fine. And when Maharaji said to me, Ramdas, don't you see it's all perfect? He was saying, hey, couldn't you come up for air for a second? You know, couldn't you come out and play a little bit? And I'm saying, no, it's real. Damn it, it's wrong. It's bad. There's good and there's evil, and this is evil. And he's saying, we'll wait. You know, he's flipping through the deck of incarnations and seeing that about 100,000 incarnations down the line, I will say, oh, God, you were high. But he's in no rush. Where's he going to go? I mean, when souls look at people who are busy being egos, just realize how poignant it all looks. How poignant it all looks. But you love the soul, and the storyline is so poignant. But my storyline's poignant. My storyline's no more interesting to me than yours is to me. It's all vitally interesting. It is, and it's all empty. I'll give you vital if you'll allow empty. If you don't buy empty, you can't have vital. See, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you've got two choices. Either I'm insane or you are. And I haven't the faintest idea. I wish I could help you. Because it seems real to me, what I'm saying to you. So good luck. The fun is that when the hubbub and clamor of ego entrapment gets lightened, and I mean lightened so that you're not pushing against it, but so you're really in it, but you're not caught in it. Like taking care of my father through the last years was going from being caught in doing it from one level, which was ego level, slowly to extricating until we were souls just completing the business of ego and incarnation together. So as it gets lighter, not through avoidance, but lighter through harmoniously fulfilling one's dharma, fulfilling one's stuff on earth, doing what your thing is, hearing your uniqueness and manifesting, just not getting caught in it. As you get lighter into all of that, then the soul's initial business comes to light, which is its relationship to the one, or to the to the non, no words, what the finger's pointing at. It's the mystery. It's the relation of the soul to the mystery. And that ultimately is the only game in town. And that's the language of the beloved. That's the language of the mystic poetry. It's the language of the soul yearning to be with God, to be in God, to be one with what is, to be beyond boundary, to ultimately rend the strings that keep a boundary between something and something else. In other words, it's to become in love, which is boundaryless. It is to die into love. And what's happened, if you notice the sequence, is you went from one into soul. Soul took birth into separate cottness. Separateness awakes to soul. And then when soul is in harmony, got its act together, then soul's yearning for the coming back out of its own ultimate separateness created by the karmic structure of it all, then it starts to come back into the one. And that yearning is the call towards the beloved. And these words from Ananda Maima, beautiful, beautiful, great woman saint. She said, this body has lived with father, mother, husband, and all. This body has served the husband, so you may call it a wife. It has prepared dishes for all, so you may call it a cook. It has done all sorts of scrubbing and menial work, so you may call it a servant. But if you look at the thing from another standpoint, you will realize that this body has served none but God. For when I serve my father, mother, husband, and others, I simply consider them as different manifestations of the Almighty and serve them as such. When I sat down to prepare food, I did so as if for God. Whatever I did in a spirit of divine service. Hence, I was not quite worldly, though always engaged in household affairs. I had but one ideal, to serve all as God, to do everything for the sake of God. Now, can you hear? There's the whole ego storyline going. Bengali woman, wife, does it all. But she's on the level of soul, doing her life as an offering to bring her to the beloved. When Hanuman is with Ram, and Ram says to Hanuman, who are you, Hanuman? And Hanuman says, when I don't know who I am, I serve you. When I know who I am you. Okay? Now we're talking about the second and the third planes that I'm asking you to consider. Because the second plane is the soul. And you and I are fellow souls that have taken incarnation with our storylines coming from distances, all of our life stuff. And we're meeting each other through our psyches and personalities and stuff. But behind it, we're laughing. Far out. What happened to you this trip? Well, I really had. You should have seen the. My God, what happened in my childhood, you wouldn't believe. I've been milking it for 30 years. I'm a fierce player, by the way. Don't make friends with an elephant trainer unless you have room for an elephant in your living room. That's a great Hindu line, isn't it? Are you looking for me? I am in the next seat. My shoulder is against yours. You'll not find me in stupas, nor in Indian shrine rooms, nor in synagogues, nor in cathedrals, not in masses, nor kirtans, nor in legs winding around your neck, nor in eating nothing but vegetables. When you really look for